Welcome to the Business Buyer Diaries. My name is Nathan Platter. I'm a full-time employee, and I bought a business. I did everything right, from finding the deal, handling all the due diligence on 63 opportunities, and ultimately bought a profitable gym. And boy, was I in for a big surprise as a new owner. I chronicled everything in real time, including the biggest wins to the stressful nights at 2 a.m. I'm sharing my journey without sugarcoating anything, so you don't make the same mistakes that I did. Here's today's episode.
So yesterday was the weekly team one-on-one, the weekly team meeting, just to like, hey, where are we doing operationally? What promotions do we have coming up? What events do we have coming up? The weekly check-in. And of course, the staff member that I had that tough conversation on last week was there, and as well as the rest of the staff. And so just, of course, we're going to be a little bit more timid, a little bit more nervous about like, hey, are you still like heavy-handed? Are you still, going to be strict with me? Are you going to treat me differently? Are we okay? Like all these subconscious thoughts that I'm sure they have. And so just to be involved, like, no, it was just a tough conversation. I'm going to be upbeat and engaged with the whole team as a whole. I'm not like manic virtually. It's a up leveling of the role to make sure that we're getting stuff done that we got to get done. But after the whole team meeting, it went very well. We have a lot of great stuff for the studio retail side of things. We're getting a new clothing line. We've been doing a new class style for how we do our spiking sessions, and those are received pretty well across the board. It helps do extra product sales as well. Has diesel too. And then something that kind of caught my attention that I wanted to make today's blurb about. Afterwards, as I'm leaving, I'm talking with some of the staff. We're talking about kids are in college. People have gone to college. Some haven't. And people are like, well, you know, for folks who did go to college, what was your degree in? Are you using that now? And would you do it over again? And for me, like, I got my bachelor's in finance. And it took me like 9 or 10 years later to go for my math. Standard business administration. And I was remembering in hindsight, I wasn't gung-ho about college. I started off just doing my general, and I knew my now wife at the time, and I wanted to get married, and I wanted to like start a life with her and like build a future with her. And my parents and her parents' requirements, if you will, are like hard line with like, you gotta go to college, finish getting your degree, don't skip out on yourself doing. And so I agreed to like, yep, I can do that. And I'll finish college while I'm married. I can commit to that. They didn't force me to get my degree before we got married. So I'm grateful for in hindsight. They had that trust in me. But as I was going through the first year of general, second year of general, you're still figuring out like what you like, what you enjoy, what you learn naturally, what things interest you, where do you want to dive deeper? Because you're going to dive deep into stuff you'll never use again. And so like, what can you like bear through to get through that? And I noticed along the way, I really like Excel. I really like spreadsheets. I really like math equations. I like word prop. I like seeing like, here's the situation. That was probably my tip off in life. Like I was the only kid. I remember like very easily in high school, whenever it came time to like word problems for whatever level of math we were doing, I looked forward. I was like, finally, something applicable for all this math and algebra and calculus and geometry. I'm like, math problems, they're the worst. I'm like, guys, this is like final application for what the heck we're learning. It's no longer pointless learning. I have like an outlet for this. And I look forward. I wanted to do, so that was my first tip out. I like math problems. And then like with economics and finance, like, all right, here's a word problem, but this time there's people involved. There's money involved. There's widgets or like factories involved. I'm like, okay, this is getting cool. And I remember being confused and confounded. People like, oh, how do I calculate the cost for manufacturing an item? It's like, well, you take your total cost divided by total item. And then if you make 10 more items, your cost doesn't go up the same because you know, first you have to buy your factory and then it costs money for like all the ingredients to make your widget or like your basketball or whatever. So you're like, wait, so if it costs $10 for basketball, why isn't it always $10 a basketball? Like, well, you had to buy your factory and once you buy your factory, you're done. And so I'll just quit that example right then and there. But like it just clicked. It resonated with me. And so I stumbled into finance and economics, and I wasn't planning on it. And before I knew, I'm like, well, I can take these classes. I'm a hard worker, but I do like the least amount of work and I get the most amount of grade when I do these classes. So, okay, I don't know if I want to get a degree in, but I like to take more of these classes because I like getting easy A's. And so I took more and more finance and economics classes. And before I knew it, like, I started looking ahead. It's like, okay, if I keep taking these classes, I can get a degree in it. Does the degree pay anything? Is it valuable? Like, okay, actually, this is like one of the better paying degrees out there. Like, oh, I like that. I want to get paid. All like easy A's. I can do this. And so at the end, like, as I'm figuring out, okay, like, how am I going to verbalize like what this is all like leading up to? Like, am I just going to get a degree and then like, cool, there's no jobs out there or make money on it? I don't know. And so I told myself, you know, I'm going to have a big, lofty goal. All of this is to say, yesterday, talking with my class or with my coworkers, my employees. I remember like my junior year of high school, a big lofty ambition was I wanted to start a hedge fund or a venture capital fund. Not a hedge fund. And that was a big thing. And so like, okay, well, how do I do that? Well, you invest in stuff, you buy stuff, you make it better, and then you sell it for a profit or you keep it forever or something like that. And I'm like, okay, well, I can do that. And so I figured, well, how to start a venture capital fund. So I remember searching those, and I had about, I don't know, $50,000 in friends and family that committed, like, hey, when you launch this thing, we'll put in some money. Turns out you need at least $20 million in the bank before you can profitably run a venture capital fund. So that didn't really pan out. I was about $19.9 million short. But realizing, okay, like, you don't need to have a master plan in high school to have life figured out. You just need to know, like, where you're going, what's the next step, and then, like, what the destination will figure itself out. And it was funny, as I was verbalizing this to my staff, I told them, like, I wanted to do this because I like spreadsheets. I like growing things. I like putting them into a basket and figuring out how to make it better, more profitable, and run better. I want to roll it all up into, like, a big umbrella thing. And as I'm like speaking into my head, like, this is what I wanted to do, like, I'm doing it in real time, like right now. I bought a studio because I worked like a maniac, saved up a lot of money, and then bought a studio. Now I literally backed a client yesterday to buy a second studio. And the funny part is, I don't know how I'm going to get the money, but I may be able to get the seller to finance a lot of the acquisition, so I don't need a ton of money down. But yeah, here I am buying my second company. And by meeting with some folks in the same system, there are more folks going to sell their company. And I don't know how I'm going to get the down payment, but I know how to negotiate and be an open book. Like, here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm trying to go. Based on what you're saying, here's where you're at. Here's where you're trying to go. Here's a couple ways I can see this happening with us together. We don't have to work together, but if we can make it work, like, here's a couple options we could do. What are your... And not being a hardline negotiator, but just saying, like, here's where I want to go, here's where you're going to go. How can we work together? Maybe we're a good fit. Maybe we're not. I don't know. But I'm living up the dream. And I never thought I would be. And that's really cool. And just to see, like, I always imagine, like, buying small businesses, growing them massively, and then selling them. Or to, like, buy struggling businesses, turn them around, make them profitable, and then make them like wildly profitable. And right now I'm just buying successful businesses and making them just a little bit better. So all that to say, like, it's funny how, like, when you put stuff into your subconscious, where you have goals and where you want to go in life, if the dream is deep enough, you eventually get there if you wait. And it's really cool to see that playing out. I happen to be doing it in the gym space. I never would have seen myself doing it. I always thought it would have been like mom and pop candy stores or car dealership, roofing company, landscape company, a small construction company, a political advertising company. I don't know. Like, just anything basic, down to earth, tangible, simple. And I'm doing that. So cool. So cast a vision, like, tap into the deep desires that you have out of life, and reflect on those every now and then, because they're pretty cool when they come back up. Because as you verbalized to your staff yesterday, as I verbalized to my staff, I realized like I'm living it, and I'm glad that I played around with that idea a long time ago, and now like it's actually happening. And so, where do I want to go from here? I want to start buying the buildings that I'm renting. I want to keep acquiring more companies in the same space that are very sales, consumer focused, that have good people in place, that grab people that are kind of bouncing around in life and need someone to give them the traction they need to really hit career and life momentum. So I don't want to work with high perform. I do not want to work with folks that have life figured out, that just need more juice in the tank. Like, what's an example? Like a friend of mine, he's a commodity trader. I don't want to buy the commodity trading business because they're each making 500 grand a year. And I'm going to buy it and help them figure out how to make 600 grand a year. That's boring. That's actually really boring. But what would be really cool is if there was like a commodities company that only sold lumber to Freeport companies in Northwest Minnesota, and they exclusively harvest like barn wood, and they only make tree forts that cost between $5,000 and $15,000. Like something like super weird like that. And that people are passionate and they know what they want. And now I can magically help transform that business, make it a little bit sharper, a little bit better. Now folks that are working like these factory jobs can now become like frontline foremen, craftsmen at what they do. And instead of making $20 an hour, they can now make $35 an hour because we're selling better product to better clients and we're getting faster delivery time. And people can upgrade their lifestyle. They can get rid of the rest of the truck. They can not have to finance the septic tank replacement system. They can pay cash. They can send their kids to a charter school instead of the public. Just all these little things that add up. And so, yeah, working with folks that are bounced around in life that need just a little bit more traction to hit big momentum. Because that was me. And so, it's cool to cast the vision to see it all happening today. So today is a little bit more scattered. But when you have like weird dreams, like weird goals, don't just think that they're kind of wayward daydreams. Like they probably have more traction. Keep a tap on them. Reflect on them every now and then. Today, it's the last day before Thanksgiving. Pretty stressed because I got a big deliverable that's taken way too long. And I hope I'm in a good spot with my employer. And I don't want to get shocked, let go. Let me go crank it out. Let's rock and roll and go win.
This has been another episode of the Business Buyer Diaries. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I hope you're realizing that business ownership is no cakewalk. Check the podcast notes for a link to the DIY due diligence program, the complete list of show sponsors, and for media inquiries. Music written and composed by Wes Schrock. I'm your host, Nathan Platter. Join me again on the next one.